Senatsverwaltung für Bildung, Jugend und Wissenschaft des Landes Berlin. Prüfung zum Erwerb der erweiterten Berufsbildungsreife und des mittleren Schulabschlusses im Fach Englisch 2014. Welcome to your listening test. This test has got 4 parts. Please take your worksheets now. Listening Part 1. Recorded Messages. You are going to hear 2 recorded messages. You will hear the recording twice. There are 4 questions in this part. 2 questions for each message. Look at the pictures and then listen to the recording. Choose the correct picture and put a tick in the right box. You now have time to read the questions and look at the pictures. You will hear the recording now. Please listen carefully and do the tasks.
Thank you for calling the Lyceum Theatre. Showtimes for The Lion King are from Tuesday to Sunday at 7:30 p.m. with afternoon performances on Saturdays at 3 p.m. There are no performances on Mondays. The box office in Wellington Street is open between 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. every day. Tickets for all performances are from £65 to £32, with student tickets for £22.50. We hope to welcome you soon at the Lyceum Theatre.
Hello, Carol. Where are you? We're waiting for you in the library, just in case you've forgotten how to get here. When you enter the school building, walk straight on past the office. Then turn left and walk along the corridor to the end. The library is the last door on the left, next to the canteen. I think we've got everything we need for our project. There's a projector and a flip chart in the library, and Joanna has brought her camera. Wait a minute. I think we don't have enough coloured paper. On your way here, would you go to the office and ask Miss Anderson for some red and blue paper? Thanks. See you in a minute.
You now have time to check your answers before you hear the recording again. Listen to the recording for a second time.
Thank you for calling the Lyceum Theatre. Showtimes for The Lion King are from Tuesday to Sunday at 7:30 p.m. with afternoon performances on Saturdays at 3 p.m. There are no performances on Mondays. The box office in Wellington Street is open between 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. every day. Tickets for all performances are from £65 to £32, with student tickets for £22.50. We hope to welcome you soon at the Lyceum Theatre.
Hello, Carol. Where are you? We're waiting for you in the library, just in case you've forgotten how to get here. When you enter the school building, walk straight on past the office. Then turn left and walk along the corridor to the end. The library is the last door on the left, next to the canteen. I think we've got everything we need for our project. There's a projector and a flip chart in the library, and Joanna has brought her camera. Wait a minute. I think we don't have enough coloured paper. On your way here, would you go to the office and ask Miss Anderson for some red and blue paper? Thanks. See you in a minute.
This is the end of Listening Part 1. Listening Part 2. Radio ads. Please note, you do not need to understand every word to do this task. You are going to listen to 4 radio ads. You will hear the recording twice. Read the slogans below first, then listen to the recording. For each ad, choose the correct slogan from the list A to F and put a tick in the right box. There is only one correct slogan for each ad. 2 slogans can't be matched. You now have time to read the statements. You will hear the recording now. Please listen carefully and do the tasks.
A good breakfast at school means strong bodies and strong minds. Hello, I'm Agriculture Commissioner Todd Staples, reminding you that your child's school has breakfast waiting for them every day. And you can be sure it's healthy and affordable. It's a fact that a nutritious start to the school day makes your child learn and perform better. Breakfast is a powerful thing. So power up with a healthy school breakfast every day.
Sponsored by the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Some companies still test shampoos and household products on animals. 600 companies don't. For a free list showing which is which, contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, Norfolk, Virginia, 23510. Thank you.
Hi, this is Sarah Nichols of the Indian River County Solid Waste Disposal District. Think about this. If everyone recycled all the copies of just one edition of the Sunday New York Times, we would save 75,000 trees. That's 75,000 trees. Think about all the trees we'd save if we recycled all the newspapers in the country. Most likely you do recycle, but if you don't, give it a try. Special thanks to this station for allowing me to remind you to recycle.
What a tough thing your body is. It's built to withstand bending, pinching,
ouch,
tattooing,
ow,
swimming, bumping, tickling, shaving,
loud noises,
childbirth,
oh, red 45,
football,
bad cooking,
rollerblading, marathons, even company meetings. But there's something the human body isn't built to withstand. Unexpected turbulence. Happily, though, planes are built to withstand that really well. All you have to do is wear your safety belt the entire flight. So next time you fly, stay buckled up the whole time. Because after all, turbulence happens and you're just not built for it. This message is a public service of this station and the Federal Aviation Administration.
You now have time to check your answers before you hear the recording again. Listen to the recording for a second time.
A good breakfast at school means strong bodies and strong minds. Hello, I'm Agriculture Commissioner Todd Staples, reminding you that your child's school has breakfast waiting for them every day. And you can be sure it's healthy and affordable. It's a fact that a nutritious start to the school day makes your child learn and perform better. Breakfast is a powerful thing. So power up with a healthy school breakfast every day.
Sponsored by the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Some companies still test shampoos and household products on animals. 600 companies don't. For a free list showing which is which, contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, Norfolk, Virginia, 23510. Thank you.
Hi, this is Sarah Nichols of the Indian River County Solid Waste Disposal District. Think about this. If everyone recycled all the copies of just one edition of the Sunday New York Times, we would save 75,000 trees. That's 75,000 trees. Think about all the trees we'd save if we recycled all the newspapers in the country. Most likely you do recycle, but if you don't, give it a try. Special thanks to this station for allowing me to remind you to recycle.
What a tough thing your body is. It's built to withstand bending, pinching,
ouch,
tattooing,
ow,
swimming, bumping, tickling, shaving,
loud noises,
childbirth,
Red 45!
Football, bad cooking,
rollerblading,
marathons,
even company meetings.
But there's something the human body isn't built to withstand. Unexpected turbulence. Happily, though, planes are built to withstand that really well. All you have to do is wear your safety belt the entire flight. So next time you fly, stay buckled up the whole time. Because after all, turbulence happens, and you're just not built for it. This message is a public service of this station and the Federal Aviation Administration.
This is the end of Listening Part 2. Listening Part 3. Unusual Hobbies. You are going to hear three people talking about their unusual hobbies. You will hear the recording twice. Complete the table below using 1 to 5 words or numbers. You now have time to look at the table. You will hear the recording now. Please listen carefully and do the tasks.
Hi, I'm Josh, and my unusual hobby is called cosplay, which is short for costume play. You see, cosplayers like me get dressed up in a costume to look like your favorite actor or character from a movie, or from a video game, a comic, or even television. I'm crazy about Johnny Depp's Jack Sparrow. And when people see me walking around the mall or down the street in the middle of town, I try to make them think I really am Jack Sparrow. I copy all of his typical movements and expressions, even his voice. I love to feel famous for a few hours. It's so funny to see how people react to me. Some of them stare, others just laugh, They probably think I'm promoting a film or something. And you know, there are even competitions and conventions where cosplayers like me can meet and exchange experiences. It's great. You should try it.
Hi there. My name is Samantha. And my unusual hobby is called guerrilla gardening. Gardening, you say? That doesn't sound unusual at all. More like work. But you see, what I do together with some friends is secret gardening. We do it on empty city land, which is not used and looks really ugly, like those dirty places around trees which are full of rubbish and dog poo. We get up in the middle of the night to secretly plant bushes and flowers. Even though this land is not used by anyone, what we guerrilla gardeners are doing is actually illegal. And that makes the whole thing really exciting. You can be a rebel and do something good for your city at the same time. And you know, the next morning I watch people walk by and see them smile at what we've created. It's a wonderful feeling.
I think what I do is the most unusual hobby of all. My name is Sean, and my hobby is called extreme ironing. What? I hear you say. How can ironing be a hobby? Well, it's when you combine this boring household work with an extreme outdoor sport. I mean, imagine climbing a mountain with an ironing board on your back. When you finally made it to the top, tired and out of breath, you're not finished yet. You've got to set up your board, take out your iron, and start ironing your shirt. You see, extreme ironing gives you extra adrenaline, and a well-pressed shirt is a bonus. And you can do this anywhere, in the middle of the desert, or while riding your bike. Last summer, I tried it out while I was kayaking with two friends. People sailing by thought we were crazy, and maybe we are. But this hobby is different. It's extreme, and it's great weekend fun.
You now have time to check your answers before you hear the recording again. Listen to the recording for a second time.
Hi, I'm Josh, and my unusual hobby is called cosplay, which is short for costume play. You see, cosplayers like me get dressed up in a costume to look like your favorite actor or character from a movie, or from a video game, a comic, or even television. I'm crazy about Johnny Depp's Jack Sparrow, and when people see me walking around the mall or down the street in the middle of town, I try to make them think I really am Jack Sparrow. I copy all of his typical movements and expressions, even his voice. I love to feel famous for a few hours. It's so funny to see how people react to me. Some of them stare, others just laugh. They probably think I'm promoting a film or something. And you know, there are even competitions and conventions where cosplayers like me can meet and exchange experiences. It's great. You should try it.
Hi there. My name is Samantha. And my unusual hobby is called guerrilla gardening. Gardening, you say? That doesn't sound unusual at all. More like work. But you see, what I do together with some friends is secret gardening. We do it on empty city land, which is not used and looks really ugly, like those dirty places around trees which are full of rubbish and dog poo. We get up in the middle of the night to secretly plant bushes and flowers. Even though this land is not used by anyone, what we guerrilla gardeners are doing is actually illegal. And that makes the whole thing really exciting. You can be a rebel and do something good for your city at the same time. And you know, the next morning I watch people walk by and see them smile at what we've created. It's a wonderful feeling.
I think what I do is the most unusual hobby of all. My name is Sean, and my hobby is called extreme ironing. What? I hear you say. How can ironing be a hobby? Well, it's when you combine this boring household work with an extreme outdoor sport. I mean, imagine climbing a mountain with an ironing board on your back. When you finally made it to the top, tired and out of breath, you're not finished yet. You've got to set up your board, take out your iron, and start ironing your shirt. You see, extreme ironing gives you extra adrenaline, and a well-pressed shirt is a bonus. And you can do this anywhere, in the middle of the desert, or while riding your bike. Last summer, I tried it out while I was kayaking with two friends. People sailing by thought we were crazy, and maybe we are. But this hobby is different. It's extreme, and it's great weekend fun.
This is the end of Listening Part 3. Listening Part 4. Dumpster Diving. You are going to hear a radio show about dumpster diving. There are four people in the show. Sarah Parker, the presenter, Emily Dunn, Jeremy Williams, and Alf Blake. You will hear the recording twice. Read the statements below first, then listen to the recording. Put a tick in the box next to the correct statement. Only one statement is correct in each case. You now have time to read the statements. You will hear the recording now. Please listen carefully and do the tasks.
This is Sarah Parker from TTR Radio, and welcome to our weekly edition of Have Your Say. Ever heard about something called dumpster diving? You think it's some new kind of water sport? Far from it. A dumpster is the American word for the big metal rubbish bin that is called a skip here in the UK and in Australia. And dumpster diving is actually looking for things in somebody else's rubbish. For example, dumpster divers eat the food and use the rubbish that other people throw away. Oh, doesn't that sound gross? And today you have the chance to find out more about dumpster diving from my guests here in the studio. First, let me introduce Emily Dunn, a documentary filmmaker who is interested in the consequences of the throwaway culture in Britain and America. Welcome, Emily.
Nice to be here.
Also here with us is Jeremy Williams, who owns a big supermarket in Bristol. Welcome, Jeremy.
Hello.
And last but not least, we have Alf Blake, a 26-year-old dumpster diver. Alf doesn't buy his food in a supermarket. He takes what he wants out of the big bins or dumpsters behind the supermarket. He lives off the food and other things that are thrown away.
Hi.
So, Alf, tell us why you go dumpster diving.
Well, I started dumpster diving, or what I call dumpster dining, when I was a student, simply because I couldn't afford to buy food. It was just too expensive. After finishing university, I continued dumpster dining because I didn't see the point in spending so much money on food when I can get it for free.
But isn't it dangerous to eat old food that's been thrown away?
Well, to start with, the food is hardly ever old. But yes, eating food found in a dumpster can be risky. You always have to use good judgment. Use your nose and your eyes and your common sense. Be especially careful with eggs and meat. Wash everything really carefully when you get home. Don't worry too much about the sell-by dates. Supermarkets generally try to get rid of all foods nearing their sell-by date because normally those foods just won't sell. Yet a lot of products beyond the sell-by date are edible. In fact, they taste great. And then food often gets thrown out because of the way it looks. This morning, for example, I had cereal that had been thrown away simply because the box was damaged, even though the inner plastic bag was okay.
Now, Jeremy, you have a supermarket. Is it true that supermarkets are throwing away perfectly good food?
Well, in a way, yes. You know, we have to get rid of food which doesn't look good, like bananas that have started to get brown spots. And of course, sometimes food is taken from the shelf to make room for a new delivery. And as Alf has already mentioned, we have to get rid of packaged food approaching its sell-by date. We try to offer our customers a great variety, and everything should look nice and fresh for them. However,
you know, those bananas with the brown spots are perfect inside. There's no reason to throw them away.
Emily, you dealt with this problem in your documentary film Waste Not, Want Not.
Yes, I did. And I think there's something very sad about the fact that we here in Britain are throwing out tons of food every year, especially when millions of people go to bed hungry. And not only supermarket owners are to blame. Restaurants and households also throw away tons of food every year. Wasting food is not only wasting money, but is also really bad for the environment. When you throw out food, you're also throwing out the water and all of the resources, like the fuel and energy, that were used to get that food to your plate. We really need to change things. We need to go back to the way our grandmothers bought and managed their food supplies.
So you see Alf and other dumpster divers as environmentalists?
Yes, definitely. In a way, these guys are doing a great job. If not for them, there would be even more waste in the big landfills outside the city. As we know, food rotting in a landfill is really bad for our environment because of the methane gas it produces. And that methane is even more dangerous for our climate than the CO2 coming out of cars. We have to stop wasting food. People also seem to forget that buying more than we need and throwing the rest away makes everything more expensive. So, more and more people can't afford to buy food. They then become dependent on waste to survive. In other words, wasting food creates hunger and poverty.
Well, supermarkets do generate a lot of waste, but that doesn't mean it all ends up in a landfill. As I have already said, a supermarket owner has to remove food from the shelf, but it doesn't all end up in a dumpster. We supermarket owners work together with composting companies. Every year, tons of organic waste are composted or taken, for example, to pig farms. We also work with charity organisations. Last week, for instance, we donated bread, meat and vegetables to the Bristol Soup Kitchen, where the food was cooked and given to hungry families or individuals.
Well, that's really nice to hear, Jeremy. I think you're one of the few. But believe me, there's still a lot of food being wasted.
Definitely.
Right, so my final question before the break. Is dumpster diving actually legal?
Well, it depends. In the United States, for example, dumpster diving is generally legal, though on private property people can be arrested for burglary. This is unusual, but a few years ago, two guys in Colorado got 6 months in prison after taking food from a grocer's private dumpster. In the United Kingdom and in Germany, taking items from a dumpster is viewed as theft, but normally the police have so many other problems that they don't have time to crack down on us dumpster divers.
Good for you. And it seems that we're hearing more and more about dumpster diving these days. So does that mean that dumpster diving is becoming socially acceptable? This is what we'll be talking about after the break. Stay tuned.
You now have time to check your answers before you hear the recording again. Listen to the recording for a second time.
This is Sarah Parker from TTR Radio, and welcome to our weekly edition of Have Your Say. Ever heard about something called dumpster diving? You think it's some new kind of water sport? Far from it. A dumpster is the American word for the big metal rubbish bin that is called a skip here in the UK and in Australia. And dumpster diving is actually looking for things in somebody else's rubbish. For example, dumpster divers eat the food and use the rubbish that other people throw away. Oh, doesn't that sound gross? And today you have the chance to find out more about dumpster diving from my guests here in the studio. First, let me introduce Emily Dunn, a documentary filmmaker who is interested in the consequences of the throwaway culture in Britain and America. Welcome, Emily.
Nice to be here.
Also here with us is Jeremy Williams, who owns a big supermarket in Bristol. Welcome, Jeremy.
Hello.
And last but not least, we have Alf Blake, a 26-year-old dumpster diver. Alf doesn't buy his food in a supermarket. He takes what he wants out of the big bins or dumpsters behind the supermarket. He lives off the food and other things that are thrown away.
Hi.
So, Alf, tell us why you go dumpster diving.
Well, I started dumpster diving, or what I call dumpster dining, when I was a student, simply because I couldn't afford to buy food. It was just too expensive. After finishing university, I continued dumpster dining because I didn't see the point in spending so much money on food when I can get it for free.
But isn't it dangerous to eat old food that's been thrown away?
Well, to start with, the food is hardly ever old. But yes, eating food found in a dumpster can be risky. You always have to use good judgment. Use your nose and your eyes and your common sense. Be especially careful with eggs and meat. Wash everything really carefully when you get home. Don't worry too much about the sell-by dates. Supermarkets generally try to get rid of all foods nearing their sell-by date because normally those foods just won't sell. Yet a lot of products beyond the sell-by date are edible. In fact, they taste great. And then food often gets thrown out because of the way it looks. This morning, for example, I had cereal that had been thrown away simply because the box was damaged, even though the inner plastic bag was okay.
Now, Jeremy, you have a supermarket. Is it true that supermarkets are throwing away perfectly good food?
Well, in a way, yes. You know, we have to get rid of food which doesn't look good, like bananas that have started to get brown spots. And of course, sometimes food is taken from the shelf to make room for a new delivery. And as Alf has already mentioned, we have to get rid of packaged food approaching its sell-by date. We try to offer our customers a great variety, and everything should look nice and fresh for them. However,
you know, those bananas with the brown spots are perfect inside. There's no reason to throw them away.
Emily, you dealt with this problem in your documentary film Waste Not, Want Not.
Yes, I did. And I think there's something very sad about the fact that we here in Britain are throwing out tons of food every year, especially when millions of people go to bed hungry. And not only supermarket owners are to blame. Restaurants and households also throw away tons of food every year. Wasting food is not only wasting money, but is also really bad for the environment. When you throw out food,
You're also throwing out the water and all of the resources, like the fuel and energy, that were used to get that food to your plate. We really need to change things. We need to go back to the way our grandmothers bought and managed their food supplies.
So you see Alf and other dumpster divers as environmentalists?
Yes, definitely. In a way, these guys are doing a great job. If not for them, there would be even more waste in the big landfills outside the city. As we know, food rotting in a landfill is really bad for our environment because of the methane gas it produces. And that methane is even more dangerous for our climate than the CO2 coming out of cars. We have to stop wasting food. People also seem to forget that buying more than we need and throwing the rest away makes everything more expensive. So, more and more people can't afford to buy food. They then become dependent on waste to survive. In other words, wasting food creates hunger and poverty.
Well, supermarkets do generate a lot of waste, but that doesn't mean it all ends up in a landfill. As I have already said, a supermarket owner has to remove food from the shelf, but it doesn't all end up in a dumpster. We supermarket owners work together with composting companies. Every year, tons of organic waste are composted or taken, for example, to pig farms. We also work with charity organisations. Last week, for instance, we donated bread, meat and vegetables to the Bristol Soup Kitchen, where the food was cooked and given to hungry families or individuals.
Well, that's really nice to hear, Jeremy. I think you're one of the few. But believe me, there's still a lot of food being wasted.
Definitely.
Right, so my final question before the break. Is dumpster diving actually legal?
Well, it depends. In the United States, for example, dumpster diving is generally legal, though on private property people can be arrested for burglary. This is unusual, but a few years ago, two guys in Colorado got 6 months in prison after taking food from a grocer's private dumpster. In the United Kingdom and in Germany, taking items from a dumpster is viewed as theft, but normally the police have so many other problems that they don't have time to crack down on us dumpster divers.
Good for you. And it seems that we're hearing more and more about dumpster diving these days. So does that mean that dumpster diving is becoming socially acceptable? This is what we'll be talking about after the break. Stay tuned.
This is the end of Listening Part 4. Now you have time to copy all your answers onto the final answer sheet. Be careful, please. Don't make any mistakes when you copy your answers. Now hand in all the papers to the teacher, please. This is the end of your listening test.